This morning, we're shining a spotlight on the case of Susan Smith. She was convicted back in 1995 for the murders of her two young boys. And next year, the murder mom is up for parole, but her family is not offering much support, saying they're not interested in helping her. And her ex-husband, David, says he plans to file an affidavit urging the parole board to keep her locked up. Wow, she's not getting support from her family. The ones that used to love her, well, she's got lots of folks that love her right now. She's been corresponding with about a half a dozen suitors. One man calling Smith, "Dearest Pookie," sent this letter in August. "Been thinking of you and miss you so much. Hoping I can do something for you soon. Anyways, feels like it's been so long since we talked." Later concluding, "Love you so much, it hurts. Your Pookie." Another man allegedly offered Smith a place to live if she is indeed granted parole. Let's break it down with a guy that knows this case very well, the man who prosecuted Susan Smith. Tommy Pope with us. Good morning, sir. Let's start with her chances at parole. Your thoughts.
I always said I'd never get a job in Vegas handicapping because it's hard to know. You know, if you look at her behavior in prison, you know, the highlight or the low light was, you know, having sex with the guard. She's had some drug infractions and different things. So I think the notoriety of her case, coupled with the, you know, the heinous nature, she probably doesn't make it next time, which will be a year from now. She'll be eligible in 2024. But stranger things have happened. I mean, you know, watching court, what you think a jury will do, what you think the parole board will do, you're never quite sure.
Absolutely. So let's talk about those infractions and to what extent they'll come in to the case. She had the relations with the guard was also they had a drug possession incident, disciplined in a couple times, but you know, she's been in a while. To what extent is this behavior, I guess pull out the sex with the guard part, but how much of that is, you know, goes into the decision making process? And I get, you can't, it's tough, every parole board is different, etc.
Sure. I think that you know, it's a factor. I mean, you hate to say it, but, you know, probably in prison-wise, that there's a lot worse infractions, you know what I mean? Assaulting another inmate, things of that nature, you don't see that. But I think, too, the parole board will be taking in the things that you let off with, the David Smith's information. You know, they'll hear from the prosecutor, probably Kevin Brackett that tried the case with me, this the solicitor now. You know, they very well may solicit a letter from me. And my standard is, you know, I believe in truth and sentencing, that life should mean life. The jury thought she got life. That was what they, you know, were told in the courtroom, but that, you know, they did not know she was eligible for parole. And so my contact with them will be something to that extent, you know, that the sentence ought to mean what it says.
What do you mean? Why do you think she has so many suitors out there? It's common. We see it a lot with someone, a high profile defendant has people who fall for them. For whatever reason, anything about her that stands out?
You know, even back during the case, if you recall the days when we were searching for the carjacker and she was spending time with the SLED agents, you know, the state police officers, and they would pick her up, you know, to go take the polygraph, for example. She was flirty with them. I think she's got an ability to kind of be flirty, for lack of a better term, you know, and I think that's what happened probably with the guard, you know, from what I've read. I remember one time with a SLED agent, you know, the kids are in the lake, she's going to take a polygraph, and she starts saying, "I wish you and I were driving to the beach instead of, you know, driving to do this, it's such a beautiful day." And so she's always kind of had that ability with men, and I think she's just playing on that.
She's a siren.
Drawing them onto the rocks.
Yes. one of her suitors said publicly to the messenger, said that, "I don't know why my messages were made public. I just find her interesting and misunderstood. She's not what you think she is. She's a good person who did something terrible when she was young and not in her right mind. People can change." I mean, that's pretty accurate with most
And I mean, a lot of the folks in our prisons are inherently good people that did insanely horrible things, and it doesn't necessarily define their whole life. Correct?
I think that's accurate. I think what that guy said is accurate. If we're gonna, you know, at least based on my faith, we're sure all seeking forgiveness for something and grace for something, you know. So I think, you know, people can change, and you know, if these, you know, guys make that choice and want to befriend her, you know, I don't think that's inaccurate. You know, the first thing we always think, I was thinking of the case you had the other week, on the death where the guys, I guess, went back to prison in Peru, and he's got a wife and kid down there, but he's in prison. And, you know, so some people are drawn to that. I don't know whether it's the spotlight or the intrigue, or, you know, maybe they are wired to help those that they feel like have not gotten a fair shake. But I remember back early, Susan had kind of a Facebook page or something like that, and she had suitors back then, too.
Yeah, Natalie Holloway case and Johan Vandersloot you're
that
referring
was it.
To.
That
yeah.
was it.
It is. It's amazing. So let's say she does, you know, achieve her goal and get out on parole. Knowing what you know about her, is this someone that you would feel comfortable being amongst us?
You know, some people can get out and go on and live their life. You know, some people have become institutionalized. I think she made a horrible, horrible choice and committed a heinous crime. And, you know, ultimately, I guess now at this point, the parole board and the jury have decided, you know, what that punishment should be. And so I probably would not have her over to my house, nor would she probably want me to come over to hers. So that's about all I could say about that.
It makes sense. In all the cases that you prosecuted, does this one stand out? Is this one that obviously, you know, he had the notoriety of it, so inherently it's right. going to be, you know, always brought up like we're doing today. But is it up there in terms of things you think about?
Well, I actually don't. I say tongue in cheek. I remember, you know, one time, you know, because I went on, had other cases, other careers, other people on death row. But I remember. You know, every time something would happen with Susan Smith, people would call me and go, you know, well, I heard she was pregnant. And so my running joke was, she may be, but I didn't do it, you know. But, you know, but so we've had, I'll always be the Susan Smith prosecutor, for better or worse. You know, for me, the case was a loss. I was seeking the death penalty because I felt strongly if David Smith had committed it, the jury, you know, people would want death. If the African-American guy had committed it, people wanted death. So I just, you know, thought she ought to be fed out of the same spoon. So that kind of brings me back to the, you know, she should serve a life sentence.
Interesting. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Tommy Pope, thank you. You're associated with lots of things, not just Susan Smith, that's for sure.
Court TV.